I'm trying something new today. Being a creature of habit, as we all have our own habitual things, I'm going to try preaching from an iPad. So you might pray for technological smoothness here. We read Psalm 121 earlier in worship, but I'd like to read it again, this time reading it from the Message. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep. Not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. Thanks be to God. This is one of the prayers of the people of Israel that dates back about 2,500 years. They prayed it on pilgrimage as they went to pilgrimage for the great religious festivals, sometimes walking for days, weeks, sometimes months. Praying this prayer on the road, probably singing it as they went, along with the 14 other prayers in this section called the Psalms of Ascent from Psalm 120 to 134. And because of that initial use of these psalms on the road, I'm calling them walking prayers. They were used on the move. This one in particular, Psalm 121, is a walking prayer. Praying that God will protect ankles from slipping. Or as it reads in the text, He won't let your foot slip. And that He'll give protection by in daylight and in darkness. The sun won't harm you by day nor the moon by night. He'll protect you from all harm. It's a prayer on the move. It's a walking prayer. But it's more than that. It's also a non-walking prayer, at least in my use of it. It's a prayer that I often use when I go to visit people in the hospitals. And I read this with people. I've read it with a lot of you when you've been in the hospital. Because when you were bedbound in a hospital, hooked up to IV tubes or a cardiac monitor, waiting for results, waiting for the doctor to come back, being bedbound can be a frustrating, agonizing place of just waiting and wondering what's going to happen. And this psalm is a wonderful reorientation psalm. Clear, reminding words. It begins and ends in such powerful ways. It begins with that central question, where does my help come from? I have these needs, and now where is the source of my help? Well, my help comes from the Lord, who made my body and my mind and everything that there is. My help comes from the Lord. And the prayer ends with this strong word of assurance. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going both now and forevermore. Forever, no matter what. It's a great prayer to carry with us. Kind of like we carry our ever-present cell phones. Our son, Peter... He has a bit of a verbal routine whenever he goes out somewhere. It's a verbal checklist. Wallet, cell phone, keys. Okay, I'm good to go. Wallet, cell phone, keys. I'm good to go. Maybe you have a verbal checklist like that. I know there's a floor mat that has that on it. Wallet, cell phone, keys, or purse, cell phone, keys. But what if we added to our own verbal checklist, wallet, cell phone, keys, Psalm 121? A prayer to carry with us, a reminding prayer that God is watching over our coming and our going forever, no matter what. A couple of things about this psalm that I'd like you to carry with you, like tuck him in your pocket. First is what I touched on already about when I described it as a walking prayer. In a book on these Psalms of Ascent by Eugene Peterson, Peterson describes this one and the image of people on the road, walking toward Jerusalem, walking through the valleys and looking up to the ridgetops. And as they looked up to the ridgetops, it wasn't looking up to see the glory of God in creation. like these images we've had on the screen today. It was looking up to the ridgetops and seeing on the ridgetops pagan temples. Hundreds of temples. I mean, hundreds of gods in the area were worshipped. Fertility gods that included ritual prostitution. And gods where you would bring a sacrifice for prosperity or for rain or for crops. All these temples up on the hills. And what Peterson describes is that when we read, "I lift my eyes to the hills," it wasn't about the glory of God in creation. It was saying, does my help come from those, these pagan temples, these pagan false gods? No. My help comes from the Lord, the creator of all of this, the creator of heaven and earth. My help comes from Him. So with that in mind, look at the end of verse 3 and verse 4. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This is a direct reference back to 1 Kings 18 about Elijah on Mount Carmel. And the short version of that story is Elijah challenged the pagan priests of Asherah and Baal to a showdown. 850 pagan priests saying, whose God is active? Whose God is real? Let's see whose God can light this sacrifice of a bull on an altar. And so after hours and hours of these 850 priests chanting and pleading and praying for Baal or Asherah or whatever God to come and ignite their altar, finally Elijah taunts them. And he said, maybe your God has gone away on a trip. Maybe your God is sound asleep and needs to be awakened. Not so with my God and Elijah's God. Our God torched the entire thing. The bull, the altar, the stone, the rocks, the dirt. Whoosh! He who watches over you is not dozing. The God of Israel, our God, neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is active and awake and close. That's the first thing to tuck in your pocket with us. The second part has to do with that middle section where there are these words about not having our feet slip. And about God watching over us in the heat of the day and in the darkness of night. Or as it reads the message, shielding us from sunstroke and sheltering us from moonstroke. Wouldn't it be great if, as people of faith, as followers of Jesus, if this then meant that we were now going to be spared from any calamities. No cancer, no heart attacks, no strokes, no tragic accidents. But we know that's not the case. I mean, look at the prayer notes in the bulletin. And all of our names, every one of our names may end up on a prayer list like this. Or it's already here. Good people, dear people, faithful people, people suffering and carrying heavy loads, a lot of hard things happen, even to the most faithful and dear, loving people we know. So what does it mean then that God is watching over us and protecting us as we read in the psalm? Is it just flowery words from an over-hopeful prayer? Is it just well-intended but not really true? No, that's not true of anything in Scripture. In fact, someone once put it this way, there is no literature in the world more realistic and honest about the harsh facts of life than the Bible when we really come to know it. And that's true for Psalm 121. So let's back up for just a moment to look at these hazards the psalm mentions in the middle of the psalm. Hazards well known to people on the road, like the people of Israel, but also well known to us as we go on the road and as we handle things in the dailiness of our lives. First, feet slipping. Think of those things that suddenly just happen. Things that literally or figuratively knock our feet from out from under us. When I slipped on the church sidewalk a couple of winters ago, I didn't see that coming at all. It wasn't like, uh-oh, I think I might have an accident here. In a flash, boom, I was down, my ankle snapped, I was passing out in the snow, I couldn't get up, trying to reorient myself, and I was in a world of pain I had never encountered before, and it happened in a flash. Think about all the other things that happen. Things that break. A broken marriage. A broken bank account. A broken sense of trust. Broken innocence. A bad car accident, a bad diagnosis, a bad choice that has huge consequences. Things happen sometimes in a flash, and we go down. Our feet slip. Secondly, harm from the sun. We know this literally. Skin cancer, overexposure, sunstroke. But more broadly and biblically, harm from the sun is about deep fatigue. About desperate thirst, about getting worn dangerously thin, and all the risks that come upon us spiritually, emotionally, physically, when we are worn down to a nub. That's harm from the sun. It's like that internal stop sign that a lot of recovering alcoholics have in mind. That acronym HALT, when you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, that's when you are most at risk. Watch it. HALT. It's true for all of us, and not just about drinking. Being harmed by the sun is the place we know. And then the moon by night. I didn't understand this until recently. I didn't know the meaning of that word moonstruck. I don't know if you have either. Moonstruck is the way it's paraphrased in the message that I read. Moonstroke is an old term for emotional or mental illness. Believed that it was related, that it was tied to the movement of the moon. The Latin word for moon is luna, like lunar eclipse. And it's from this that we get the word lunacy or lunatic, related to the moon. So being harmed by the moon at night refers to being afflicted emotionally or mentally, whether it's outright psychosis, or whether it's being besieged by depression or anxiety or worry or fear or anger or bitterness, such that whatever it is, it captures your whole being. Being harmed by the moon at night. A lot of us deal with this, don't we? So the point I'm making is that all of these are common things as we walk on pilgrimage through life. Feet slipping, accidents, exhaustion, being internally besieged. Yet here is this prayer about God protecting us from all this. So we need to ask, how do our real life experiences fit with this prayer? Well, I can't answer that why question about why evil happens, why suffering happens. But I don't believe that this prayer is meant to give the impression that trusting God provides complete shielding from all of this. Instead, Psalm 121 is a prayer of trusting in His presence with us in the good as well as in the bad. Trusting that He holds us at the core, holds our hearts and our souls, even when we're slipping, worn thin, and besieged. He will keep evil and harm from destroying us on the inside in our souls. As one scholar puts it, all the waters and all the oceans cannot sink a ship unless it gets inside of the ship. Nor can all the trouble in the world truly harm us unless it gets inside of our souls. And that is the promise we find in verse 7 of this psalm. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Trust in Him keeps it from getting all the way inside. And so we pray. God, I lift my eyes to You. Because You, above all, You alone are my hope and my shield. Because You are with me, You are for me, You are walking along me as I walk through life, even in the pain and trouble that I carry. And that's why we read Romans 8 earlier. Romans 8 and Psalm 121 are like a needle and thread. They're like a hand and a glove. They work together. They promise. The promise in both of them is this. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. The worst hurt, the deepest sorrow, The sins we commit, the things that plague us, while these cut deep, they don't cut this off. Neither death, nor life, nor anything else can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is central to what we celebrate as we come to the table and as we go to the kneeling rail. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The fact that no matter what sins we carry, no matter how discouraged or worn thin or hurt we are, no matter how confused we might be about things, no matter what it is, this relationship of watching over us, caring for us, loving us, and inviting us into an even deeper relationship is always, always wide open. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So as you come to the table today, I hope that you come with a humble readiness to be met by Him in whatever it is, and to be filled and blessed and reminded that you are deeply, tenderly, passionately loved by God through Jesus Christ, who can forgive all your sins and meet you right where you are and bring newness to life. And as you go to the kneeling rail to be anointed with oil for healing and to be prayed over, I hope the very same thing. That you'll be met and filled and blessed and reminded that you are deeply, passionately loved by God, who brings forgiveness and healing in His own way and His own time and newness to life. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to You. Some of us are heavily weighed down. Some of us are filled with joy and excitement. Some are dented and bruised. Some are confused. Some of us are doing okay in many ways. But we all know that we desperately need You. We need Your love. We need Your forgiveness. We need Your hope. We need Your presence day by day. So we open ourselves up to You, to Your will, and to Your power. In Jesus' name, amen.